Thanks, Jeff. If you have your Bible, you want to open up, or you can just follow along on the screen, but we're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Remember, what we're doing is we're going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, all the way through this Gospel of Mark. It will take us months, if not maybe even a couple years, to go through all the verses. And I'm asking God to show me, as we go from verse to verse or section to section, what is it that's the message for all of us from those verses. And so I've got the next two verses that we're going to go to, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, and that'll be the basis for today's message. There's going to be other verses I'm going to refer to, but this is where we are in Mark next. Later on, after John was arrested, John the Baptist, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. That's all Mark tells us about the start of Jesus' ministry. Now, what we need to remember is it says after John was arrested, John the Baptist is in jail. His public ministry is done. Jesus now goes up to Galilee from where he was and starts his public ministry. And it says in the verses that we just read that he preached God's good news. Now, what were the bullet points of God's good news? Well, again, the verses told us. It's these things. The time promised by God has come at last. And that time that God promised was promised a long time ago. But we're finding out it's now come. The second bullet point in Jesus' ministry is the kingdom of God is near. A third point is to repent of your sins. And the last point is then believe in the good news. So of those points, I want to bring out one specific point, and that is the point of repent of your sins. Repent. Repentance is the key word for this morning's message. And to repent is actually a common theme throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. I'm going to refer to three different kings. One we're probably real familiar with, King Solomon, but also I'm going to refer to King Hezekiah and King Manasseh. All three of these folks from the Old Testament mentioned something about repentance. And of course, they were kings over Israel, and so it's specific to that chosen people of God. I'm going to start with 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 37. And this is an excerpt from King Solomon's prayer when he was dedicating the newly built temple. He was the one that got to build God's temple. Everything before had been a tabernacle, a tent that went up and down. Now here's a permanent building, a place where folks can worship God, a place where God himself can live, if God needs a place to live. But that's kind of the way they saw that. In the midst of this long prayer of dedication, here's just a little tiny excerpt from verse 37. But in that land of exile, that they might turn to you in repentance and pray, we have sinned, done evil, and acted wickedly. I want you to notice that that one little phrase I pulled out of that prayer is that repentance involves turning. And then in this case, they were turning from sin, evil, and being wicked. Now I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to stay in 2 Chronicles for the next few verses. But chapter 32, verse 26. While we just heard from King Solomon, this is going to be regarding King Hezekiah. Then King Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Jerusalem. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's reign. Wow, that's some pretty good repentance right there. Affects the whole country. Now, notice there that repentance involves humility. But the verse before talked about turning. This talks about humility. And then it also infers turning from pride. Again, staying in 2 Chronicles, chapter 33 this time, verse 19. King Manasseh's prayer the account of the way God answered him, and an account of all his sins and unfaithfulness are recorded in the record of the seers. It included a list of the locations where he built pagan shrines and set up Asherah poles and idols before he humbled himself and repented. Once again, repentance involves humility, and in this case also turning from sin, the sin of unfaithfulness and idols. One last time in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 27. Continuing on, this is just after what King Manasseh's prayer was. This is later on. You were sorry and humbled. You were sorry and humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this city and its people. You humbled yourself and tore your clothing in despair and wept before me in repentance. And I have indeed heard you, says the Lord. Once again, notice, repentance involves humility. And also notice that humility comes before repentance. It seems to me to indicate that pride or prideful people will find it hard, sometimes if not impossible, to repent. Now, of course, Mark in the New Testament starts off with John the Baptist preaching for people to repent. A couple, two, 3 weeks ago, that's where we started, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, Jesus starts his ministry, and what's his message? Repent of your sins and believe the good news. And now, eventually, some chapters down in Mark, we're going to find out that the disciples go out and start their ministry, and guess what their message is? Repent. Repent of sin and turn to God. So, what better topic to talk about today and learn a little bit more about what the Bible says about repent and repentance and how it could apply to us or the people we know. One of my favorite actors, and I don't know if this causes me to be thrown out of the church or not, but I guess I'll find out. Steve Martin. Any Steve Martin fans out there? Okay, I'm seeing some smiles and some heads nodding. John Candy? How about a movie with Steve Martin and John Candy? Now, there's a doozy. How about a movie that they did called Planes, Trains, and... Yeah, see, you've seen the movie. I don't feel so bad now, see? Well, I'm gonna bring out a little two-minute excerpt verbally, describing a little excerpt from the movie. And if you've seen it, you're going to remember this. And if you can, go back and Google it. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Going the Wrong Way. That little clip. There's a little clip from the movie where we see John Candy driving while Steve Martin is sleeping in the passenger seat. All of a sudden, a car driving in the same direction as them starts honking and pointing and yelling. Candy says, "I think the Joker wants to race." And so he hunches over the steering wheel and drives even faster. The people in the other car continue to yell for Candy and Martin to turn around. Candy and Martin begin to accuse the people in the other car of being drunk. But the people persist on screaming, now saying, "You're going the wrong way." And then Candy mockingly says, "How do they know where we're going?" And again assumes the people in the other car driving under influence. Even John Candy kind of does one of these while he's talking about those people, how drunk they must be. "You're going in the wrong direction. You're going to kill somebody." The messages are yelled out frantically from the other car. Finally, Steve Martin realizes what the people in the other car are trying to tell them. It's night, and he looks up out the windshield, and in front of him, coming his direction, their direction, are two semis racing down the interstate, the headlights on, and heading right toward them. Well, fortunately, as we know, this is a comedy, so nobody dies. But what does happen is their car goes right between those two semis, scraping the side of the car, breaking off the outside mirrors, and eventually the car stops in the middle of the interstate, in the middle of the night, turned in the wrong direction. Well, that little clip from the movie is funny. And if you get a chance to watch it, you'll remind yourself how funny it is and the acting and all that. But what I would hope you would do, whether you watch it on YouTube or just imagine what I just shared, that clip will play in your mind, reminding us of this. While the movie is funny, what's not funny is that there's so many people in real life that are going in the wrong direction. And if they keep going in the wrong direction, they're going to kill somebody. And maybe not literally, maybe figuratively, or maybe spiritually. They might kill a friendship going in the wrong direction. They might kill a marriage going the wrong way. They might kill a career. Worst of all, they might kill their soul for all of eternity. Can I tell you that the message of the Bible is repent? The message of John the Baptist is repent. The message of Jesus is repent. So stop going the wrong way is the message. You know you need to repent when God is the one yelling, you're going the wrong way. And what's weird is you seem to feel like everything is fine. You're enjoying the trip, just like Steve Martin and John Candy were enjoying the trip thinking everything was fine. And we are too sometimes, and we don't realize we're in a very dangerous situation. We're going the wrong way. We need to repent. We need to change directions. When's the last time you actually were talking to somebody and used the word repent or repentance? Has it been a while? Has it been ever? I mean, we just don't use that word in everyday language, do we? Mike, when you're working the cattle, do you say, repent, repent, you're going in the wrong direction? Probably not. Probably not. But so we just don't use it. So I want to start off by saying, what does the word mean? If this whole idea from the Old Testament to the New Testament is about repent, so what is it? Simply, it means to change. Simply, it means to change. It means to turn. In terms of change, change our thinking, change our actions, change our direction. In terms of turning, turn from our sin and then turn toward God. So change and turn, those are the two key words. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19, and then I'll use another verse in Acts. Because what I want to do is I want to show us some verses in the New Testament that talk about this idea of repenting and turning and changing directions. Acts 3:19 says this, "Now repent of your sins and do what? Turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away." Repent. So change. Change your thinking, change your action, change your direction. And do what? Turn to God. Well, another Acts chapter 17, verse 30, verse says this, "God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere." And that includes Caddis. And that includes the Caddis Friends Church. That includes the Nazarene Church where Chuck worships. He commands everyone everywhere to do what? To repent of their sins and turn to him. Okay, so all we need to do to repent is just change. It's as simple as that. And I think I'm probably done with the message now today. Or not. Because to say just change is not very easy, is it? Anybody tried to change anything in their life? Is it a little difficult? Yeah, I would agree. Something I haven't done for a long time is helped us to remind ourselves how change feels. Because change feels, we can feel it when we're trying to change. So if repentance is something you need to do, or someone you know needs to do, just know that as they change, it's going to feel like something. And I'm going to help us to understand how that feels. Would you all just with me just pray, just clasp your hands like this together, like we're going to pray. Now, pull your hand apart and put it back together a couple times. Is that as easy as thing you've ever done? And how does that feel when you have your hands clasped together like this? Feels pretty natural, feels pretty comfortable. Now what I want you to do, though, is I want us to change. We're going to repent. We're going to go the other direction. We're going to put the other hand on top of our hand and put them together. Now, so pull it apart and do the other hand. Pull it apart and do the other hand. Now, I'm seeing some people kind of bump their fingers into each other. Because Jeff, I'll work with you later. Yeah, we got a remedial class for some of us. But what you'll find is trying to do it the opposite direction is very uncomfortable. It's hard. It's awkward. And once we get it to the other position, how does that feel? Awkward. Uncomfortable. This is not the way I'm going to pray from now on. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you were to do this all day today and tomorrow and next month, eventually this way would feel as natural as this way. So in terms of repentance, in terms of changing or turning, just know ahead of time it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel awkward. You're going to think, why am I doing this? This really isn't working. Well, keep going in the right direction. It'll eventually feel much better. So we now understand that the Bible is clear that we must change from our comfortable sinful ways and turn to God, or turn back to God. Because this message isn't just for people who have never known God, but this message is for people, the message in the Bible is for people who have turned to God at one time in their life, but then somehow got off track. You know, most people don't get off track by just one day getting up and say, I'm not going to follow God. Forget the Bible, forget prayer, forget church, forget. It's a gradual thing. In fact, just imagine this. Imagine if I was to walk from here to the back door straight, we could probably mark a line of what would be perfectly straight. Now imagine if I was just 1 degree off. Well, we could probably mark a line right next to this perfect straight line, what 1 degree off would be. I'd still get to the door. I would barely be, I don't know if I'd even be an inch off track. But what about when I get to the north end of Caddis? What about when I get to Michigan? How far off track would I be if I stayed off course just 1 degree? Well, the further I walk, being off just a little bit, before long, I'm going in the wrong direction. And that's what some of the people you know, that's what's happened. It's not been just I all of a sudden turned away from God. So some people need to turn to God, some people need to turn back to God. But that's the main lesson of today's message. It's repentance. So I ask myself, what are some other questions we might have or things that the Bible might say about repentance? And one of the questions I would ask myself and I would ask of all of us is, how do we know if we have repented? I mean, I want to repent. I think I repented. Well, how do I know? What's the outcome? And it's very simple. In the Bible, I'll give a couple examples from the New Testament. But how do we know that we've actually repented? Our actions prove we have. Our actions prove we have. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 is one of the verses I'll refer to. Matthew 3, 8 says, prove how? By the way you live. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. So how do I know if I've repented? How do I live? Acts 26, 20 is going to tell us something very similar. So Paul's message here says, I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and then what? Prove that they have changed. How? By doing good things they do. By the good things that they do. That's how they prove it. So if you're wondering to yourself, I wonder if I've repented. Well, just check the way you're living. Are you living in a way that says, I've changed direction, I've changed thinking, I've turned from sin to God? Here's another thought about repentance. Sorrow without repentance won't work. Sorrow without repentance won't work. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10. Now I am glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow, get this, as listen for the word sorrow in here, and the kind of sorrow. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have. So you are not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. Now here's another kind of sorrow. Worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. How many times have we been sorry when we've been caught going in the wrong direction? Caught by our spouse, caught by our mom and dad, caught by a friend, caught by our co-worker, caught by the police officer. just imagine all places and ways you can be caught. Caught by our children or grandchildren. We're sorry we got caught. We apologize, but we don't change. We're sorry, but we're not sorrowful. We are not realizing the pain we've brought to other people in our life, including God. Or we simply don't care that we've caused others pain. So to truly repent will include sorrow. Not just being sorry. The last point that I'll bring up of something the Bible says about repentance is it's available for a limited time only. Repentance is available for a limited time only. How many times do you see those advertisements on TV or in print? And it says this price or this offer is available for a limited time. And if we're a good shopper, if we're a good steward of God's money, we're going to say, oh, what's the date on that? Okay, I need to get to such and such a store so I can take advantage of that. We won't let that good offer expire. Well, the Bible tells us that repentance is also only available for a limited time. But I have really good news for you today, and for those that will listen to this on the internet or watch it on Facebook. The time has not expired for you. The time has not expired for you because you are hearing this right now. Tomorrow, I don't know. Because the limited time offer is going to be different for all of us. And I don't know what the expiration date is for you or for me. But I'm going to refer to two last verses of Scripture, one from the Old, one from the New Testament. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2. Listen to this. Now again, I preach from the New Living Translation, so this is the way it says it. Gather before judgment begins, before your time to repent is blown away or expired like chaff. And catch these next two words. Act now. I could just see that if this was a TV commercial for repentance, there'd be a big screen with a large font, capital letters, exclamation points, act now, and it's going to be flashing, and then there's going to be the little date underneath. Act now before the fierce fury of the Lord falls and the terrible day of the Lord's anger begins. And one last verse for this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. We all probably know the story of Jacob and Esau. And so while I don't have the time to tell all about that story, remember there was a time where Esau was coming back from a hunting trip, starving to death. His brother, Jacob, had been fixing a stew, and he was so hungry, Esau was so hungry, he said, "Give me some food," and Jacob was so cunning, he said, "Okay, I'll give you some food if you'll give me your birthright. If you'll give me the inheritance that's due to you because you're the oldest, if you'll give it to me, you can have the stew." And we know the story. Esau did give in to that, gave his brother the birthright, and ate his meal. So in Hebrews it says this, talking about that situation. "You know that afterward, when he," Esau, "wanted his father's blessing," the birthright, the inheritance, "he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears." So there's an expiration date. Repentance may happen multiple times in our life. Sin may not change our relationship to the Father. And when I say relationship to the Father, when we are saved or born again or ask Christ to be our Savior, then immediately God is our Father. And the Bible clearly tells us that we're in a relationship now with God, and He's the Father and I'm a son or a daughter. And just like you have children, and they are a son or a daughter, if they mess up and go in the wrong direction, do you tell them, "Well, you're no longer my son or daughter. You're no longer my grandchild. If you're an aunt, you're no longer my niece or my nephew." The relationship is gone. No, you don't say that. But here's what does happen when people we love, people we're responsible for, when they're going in the wrong direction, the relationship may not change, but certainly the fellowship between us and them changes. And when we sin or are going in the wrong direction, we still might be in relationship to God the Father as father and child, but the fellowship is completely messed up. So here's what we have to do. We have to genuinely, and that's a key word, genuinely be sorry for sin, sorrowful. We need to change our direction, and we need to turn to God or back to God and repent. And then we'll be in right fellowship with the Father again. Way long before I was ever a pastor, for some 30 years, I was a corporate trainer. And I trained on all kinds of things, from technical things to insurance contracts to customer service, things like that. And one of the things, little sayings I picked up on decades ago was this, and it applies to so many things in life. If you keep on doing what you've always done, you will keep on getting what you always got. If you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll keep on getting what you've always got. Does anybody need a different outcome in any part of your life? Then you need to start doing something differently right now. So as I end here, two more sentences. Do you need to repent of some sin today? Again, you might all be saved. We might all be saved. But there's something we still are in, going in the wrong direction. We're going away from God. And He's saying, stop doing that. Start going in a new direction and come back to me. And I'm going to ask, even while we close with this song, close in prayer, that we begin the conversation about that repentance with God right now, today, and in the week to come. So what's the name of the song today in the page? I guess we got it up on the screen.
65,
God is so good.
God is so good,
isn't he? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. We'll sing it one more time, then we'll close.